Pop-pop. It was a movie game. It was a movie game. Mm. And if anybody thinks that's not his end endeavor, then you're kidding yourself.
It's quite complicated to get working. I know there was a fair amount of skepticism out there. We've got to earn the belief. The game wasn't built. The game wasn't built.
Had a good opportunity to work on them, but they are in the works.
Refactor them, change things out, retrofit it, refactor them, refactor them. People program things.
This is bullshit.
This is your virtual captain speaking. I'm sitting here today with Dapper Don. We've got probably a shorter episode for you here today. Couldn't quite get as many guests as we were intending, but that's fine. I know so little about game development that I'm working on a game jam, and I gotta get back to that. So that's the reason for a short episode here today. But, Dapper Don, what's going on? How you doing? Did I lose you?
Sorry, I was like, the dog came by and unplugged the cord.
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing here in the Star Citizen metagame this week?
I'm doing great. Watching the fantastic pace of the development now that all the pipelines are in place.
I was almost about to make a post about the pipelines argument and all that stuff. Earlier today, I had a post saying, you know, everything they do is manual. They set up, you know, like, I don't know how many quest givers there are, but they apparently have a tweet about, oh, making a new quest giver. And it's all this very manual process when you think your 100 star system game kind of requires a more automated, generation approach instead of trying to manually place, I don't know, 1,000 different quest givers.
Right. Well, what happened is, somebody let Chris Roberts know what procedural generation is. Mm-hmm. And then what wound up happening is, well, this can work with everything.
Oh, you're right. And, you know, we haven't seen procedural generation really in any kind of crisis game that I can think of. And, you know, it's not hard to write your own, well, let me rephrase that. It's possible to write your own procedural generation algorithms outside the engine and just import the data, but they can't seem to get a grasp of that, can that, do they?
No. They just do not possess the leadership nor the talent. And you don't see fresh MIT graduates beating the door down to beg to come work with them.
You know, you talked about this a little bit last time you're on the show, which was last week or Saturday or whatever it was, about Chris didn't really climb the ladder to get where he is right now. It just kind of fell into his lap. Do you think that has anything to do with it? I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot. He doesn't really have a proven track record of, obviously you can say, oh, he made this, that, and the other game, or led freelancer development for X years, but really none of that was deserved or proven experience.
No, not at all. Chris got lucky with Star Citizen. All right. And that was during a time in computer gaming when you really didn't have to do much to look good. You just needed more than a shoestring budget. As I stated before, the highest position he ever achieved was an art director. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are dimes a dozen.
Mm.
All right. And at no time are they creative. All they are is the machination to say yay or nay.
Oh, it's just like middle management of, here's a bunch of artists, make sure what they're doing is coherent. Well,
exactly. Before I hand this to my SVP, I need to make sure that I'm picking the creme de la creme of what I think that person is going to want. That's all they are. They are the person at Applebee's that sprays on the liquid smoke onto the hot plate before they bring your double fajita to the table. That is all they are. They are the expediter. At no time are they sitting behind that Wacom tablet or programming these lines of code. No, he is the person that says, this is a prettier shade of blue than that one. Send that one back.
Mm.
That's it.
We've heard quite a few stories of the alleged micromanagement style. What's your thoughts on those? I mean, to me, it seems... I think there's definitely been some confirmation. I mean, I see those as evidence more than hearsay. What's your take?
I agree completely. You see, by the success, the runaway success of the financial amount of this project to date, stemming from a Kickstarter, no one had anticipated. Nobody, not even him.
Yeah, I was looking for a video before we started the podcast here, and there was, I was kept running into this Spectrum advertisement that he did for whoever runs that company, and he said...
Yes, that was Bright House.
The actual words out of his mouth was, it kind of blew up as far as the crowdfunding.
Well...
So he was not expecting that.
No, but here is the fun part, and this is by virtue of who Chris Roberts is. He is going to look at any deal that is beneficial as by virtue of him being involved in the project and its success. So, as you know, with regards to that business deal, the vast king's ransom that he's raked in so far and squandered, the main thing that you really want to take into perspective is, by virtue of this vast fortune that he's been given, he feels that it is his.
Oh, all of right. He thinks that this is all earned income, whereas on the forums, we see this more of as an IOU.
Pledge. Yes, it's a pledge. You're believing in his vision.
So it's all kind of borrowed debt in a way that hasn't been repaid to the customer.
Chris Roberts is sitting on the other end of that transaction going, they are giving this money in devotion to me. By virtue of me and what I told them I am going to create. At no time did that man ever sit and think, I have the technical expertise to execute this vision. The entire time, because look at the beginning of all the failures that they've had. And the reason why is Chris Roberts felt confident in the same way that he was able to contract out his tech demo for his Kickstarter to Crytek.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he did is he started hiring companies like Ilphonic and the Imaginarium Studios. He started doing all of this just subcontracting everything out. He was fancying himself as just being the project manager and movie director, and by virtue, mm-hmm. he was going to seam all of this together on the director's cutting room floor.
Yeah, it's quite insane in retrospect of all these partner... Well, I don't know if you should call them partnerships, but like subcontracting, that is quite... What was it? Where was I going? Sorry.
That's
it's
okay.
Quite revealing that all of these deals kind of didn't really stitch together as easily as he thought. And
no.
And that's a theme that we've seen in the past where... he seems to have this idea that, oh, it'll be easy. Just, throw some procedural generation in there and boop, boop, bop. Got a big old game here. No, not so easy now, is it?
No. Well, here's the thing. He clutched onto that real quick because of that concept. But his mindset even predates the procedural generation technology. His hubris that he has demonstrated throughout this project has been... the entire spectacle, not the technological failure of what he sold, but his hubris has been the true spectacle here.
Mm.
How he can look into these into the faces and into the eyes and into the camera that is facing all of the people that have given him this vast wealth to create this product, how he can sit there and look at them and tell them all of this is coming and more, and it's going to be soon, and it's going to be right around the corner. And then when that corner never happened, then all of a sudden he started getting resentful to the people that were holding his feet to the fire.
Yeah, I've done quite a fair bit of reviewing those old 10 for the Chairman videos, and it's incredible the amount of things that he talks about, you know, this is coming, this will be easy, this will, you know, he writes it off very,
yes, very he figured
haphazardly.
If he is, and yes, because he is the executive, he felt that all he had to do by virtue of saying, well, I need a professional that can do this, or a professional that can do that, and I can corral them all together, I should be able to put this out with no problem. Well, the thing is, you don't get to tout, we're inventing new technology on the foundation of a dated engine, even at that time, that's not handled or suited for this. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the pretty part of this engine and we're going to build this monolith from its infrastructure. It's laughably ignorant.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it's
go ahead.
That goes back to the point if we're talking about, you know, he's really not qualified to lead a project of this size or this style. I mean, basically, he
not
pitched an MMO, as far as I can tell, and that takes a very high degree of technical know-how, and it seems like he's just got every single step wrong here from the get-go.
Well, here's
I mean,
the,
I'm waiting
here's...
to be proven wrong on this. I'm waiting it,
you,
6 years
you
here.
Can't. You won't. And the reason why is, like I said, he envisioned himself being able to stitch this team together, or by subcontracting it all out to boutique programming gaming studios, that he would be able to just stitch all of this together.
Hmm.
All right? That's all it was going to take, right? Because as we've all heard, you know, everything from SIG makes the image sound like the latest and greatest. The entire game is already built, and it's just a flip switch away. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going on almost a decade. This has become one man's obsession with failure, and he doesn't even recognize it yet. He's sitting here polishing a wet turd. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it.
I think you're right. There's a Beer for the Beer God post that you're reminding me of, and I'm just kind of looking through it.
That man is a genius, by the way. He's incredible. The person that he's the man that put the first great crack in the Berlin Wall, which is CIG.
Uh-huh. He says, "The story of Star Citizen is not how one man managed to scam millions out of eager supporters. It's about how the unbridled enthusiasm of crowdfunding enabled a man to scam himself into believing he could do whatever he wanted." Actually, this might not be the post I was thinking of.
No, that's exactly the one you're talking about.
No, it's not. There's another one about... It's close.
Well, it you know, paying attention to the actions, not the words, but the actions of the company, at their pace, at their production, at their... At the way they handle the very people that enabled them to get to where they are now.
I think I found the part that I was thinking of. It's kind of an amalgamation of that last post and this one. Mm-hmm. He says, it's hundreds of people working on something and doing what looks to be good work doing it to stoke the narcissism of a failed developer who is more interested in maintaining the appearance of producing a AAA title than actually delivering it. Now, we were talking earlier today here on the Something Awful forums about, what was it? I replied to one of your posts saying, you were saying he's already given up. And I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Try to convince me.
No. Well, here's again, you know, you look at the actions. And as I laid out in my post, you know, they backed away from all the conventions. They've really pulled out all of the interaction with the industry, the community, and even with their own prior performance. And they're claiming that they're doing it to concentrate on working on the game. Well, why just now? So I look at the withdrawal, and that's all you can look at CIG as a company. Their
Here's what I'll say. Sandy seems to have withdrawn a year or two ago.
Oh, yes, easily.
I mean, look at the old videos with her and Ben, and she's having fun. She's loving the spotlight. Citizens love her. You know, I don't know what, but she's just vibrant. Now you look at her today, and like I was saying on the other show, she's showing up in a sweatshirt and putting on the smile and kind of just, okay, let's just deliver my lines. I'll go home. It's very, very different as far as I can tell. I mean, am I alone here or do you see the same thing? I don't expect you to watch all their shows, but you kind of see the screenshots and things, right?
Yes. And as I've never had any interaction with her whatsoever that I'm aware of, I don't know the woman, so I'm not going to sit here and try and portray some kind of psychological profile. I think I want to get that out to all of the viewers now.
Sure. And I'm the same. I don't really care. I just care about the product. I mean, I know that's insane. I know that's absolutely insane, but all I really care about is the final product.
The reason why I bring that up is discussing her in any kind of format brings out a lot of sensitivity in people.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to get that out before I discussed your or answered your question. So the reason that I agree with what you said is it's what I previously had said about the company's withdrawal. Well, this is her as an executive in this project. She's her withdrawal.
Uh-huh.
And so
I don't know if she still holds any of that kind of position, but
well, no, she still holds the position.
Considering the history of this company, I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh no, she's still in the same position that she was. She's still drawing the same salary. The only thing you're not seeing is she's not fraternizing with the help anymore.
Mm.
Okay. So I can extrapolate on this later, but what I see, and I'm sure there are those that know the timeline of her far better than I do, but it was probably right around the time that she started losing or not getting all of these movie roles that she was using CIG property to promote and leverage with.
Ah.
So she started losing, and then finally at the end of whatever the something Satan movie she was in where she was dropped on the cutting room floor and didn't know it.
For those of you that don't know, the person we're talking about was cast in a movie and ended up not making the final cut of the theatrical release.
Yeah, and nobody had the decency to tell her. She had to witness her demise on the cutting room floor during opening night with the red carpet and entrees and accoutrements. So it was, I think it was at that point, that's when the real withdrawal from not only CIG, but a lot of things probably going on in her life.
But let's bring it back to Chris. The question is Chris in the same seat? And I'm not convinced.
Yes. And look at him, okay? He's not interested in talking about the technical aspects of the game. I'm looking at a man who knows he's defeated.
Okay, I can see that.
All right. I mean, we're all looking at this.
Most recent appearance, he said something on the line along the lines of, "If Aaron was here today, he would be in this seat instead of me." And that, to me, I was just blown away. I was like, what? You come to address the backers, you know, three or four times a year, and you're saying, if you could have, you would have passed this off to your bro? I mean, that's pretty nuts. I mean, are you feeling the heat of the chair or what? I was just completely taken aback. That was not expected. I mean, I love that entire interview because, I don't know, that entire thing, anytime we get an insight into what is going on in this guy's, you know, what is ticking this guy, it's very interesting. So that was just incredible admission.
Oh, yeah. So it was the man behind the curtain sticking his head out and asking them, could they just be quiet?
Yeah, and we've seen a few times where he's kind of annoyed with backers in this, that, or the other way.
Well, of course, when he's that, you're only going to your face can only handle so much egg. There's only so much crow you can eat. You know, you can only stick your feet in your mouth so many times. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, it's just horrible. And you just don't want to get out of bed. Well, if he wants that money to keep rolling in, because you know what? Those Porsche payments, they don't stop.
Why? I think his conscience is not completely gone. There's something eating at him a bit.
No. The only thing that's eating at him is now he looks like an incompetent. At no point, see, this is the problem.
Okay.
Everybody needs to get out of their system is this man knows what he's doing. He knows he sold everybody a product. He did not create. He could not begin to construct, let alone deliver. And he was relying on using other people's money to take that gamble that he could assemble a team to do that. He felt that technology had gotten to a point where he could just point and click his way out of this. Hubris is the word of the day. Hubris.
I got a little clip here of the guy. And he's answering the question, what is Star Citizen? Get this tab to reload. Have to jump forward a little bit because apparently it's gone back to the beginning. But let's listen to this. You might not be able to hear it. Let me get you the link. I'm sending this to you in Discord.
It is an epic first-person experience.
Okay, so here we go. What is Star Citizen, Chris? Tell us.
Star Citizen is an epic first-person experience spanning hundreds of solar systems.
Star Citizen is a epic. I'm sorry. Let me. We're just gonna break this down because if we listen to the whole thing, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other for me. So I gotta pause and stop here. So let's listen to that again.
Star Citizen is an epic first-person experience.
Star Citizen is an epic first-person experience. Dapper, do you agree or disagree? I mean, it is first-person.
Is it epic? No.
No. I would say no. Not epic.
Spanning hundreds of solar systems.
Spanning hundreds of solar systems. So he's saying Star Citizen is spanning hundreds of solar systems. Is that true, Dapper?
No.
No, it's not. I mean, he does this often where you shift from present to future tense. And we've noticed this quite a lot. So, okay, we can forgive you a little bit. You're talking about what it will be in the future. Okay.
Systems where players can fly highly detailed spaceships.
Players can fly highly detailed spaceships. I will grant him that. I mean, these things are detailed. I would argue that is completely cart before the horse, but it is true in this case. Let's see if we can get through the rest of this video.
Battle on foot through massive space stations.
They battle on foot through space stations. I think he said massive space stations.
Oh no.
Twitch chat saying they can't hear Dapper at all.
Right.
Let me see what's going on here. Is it just that he's low volume, or can you not hear him at all? I'll put him back to max, that at like 90% there. So can you battle through massive space stations? I would say no. I mean, they're showing a video here of Star Marine, which to me is completely different. You know, it's just this little tag-along mini-game as far as I'm concerned.
Explore life-size planets
to me, Star
and
Marine
discover
is,
adventure in an ever-expanding and changing...
It's about as generic. I would call that almost an out-of-the-carton, like, freebie game model that came with the CryEngine. There is nothing... My favorite part for, straight from Chris Roberts' mouth was it was going to be more lethal than COD.
Yeah.
All right. COD is, you know, call it what you want, but lethal is what it excels in.
Let me mess with the audio settings here. It sounds like...
Sure.
I think I know what's causing Twitch not to hear you. I think they can hear you now. But the next thing he says here, players can explore life-sized planets and discover an adventure in an ever-expanding and changing universe?
Galaxy,
he says. Whoa, 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 whoa there, Mr. Groblers. Life-sized planets? What are you talking about? You got two moons in this thing. Discover adventure in an ever-expanding and changing galaxy? What adventure are you talking about? Expanding and changing galaxy? This thing has been static for like 6 months. I mean, there was never really anything, there's nothing expanding at all, I would argue. I mean, nothing worthwhile. You got a couple of one station, a couple of little buildings on a moon or two. This is a little bit... I think that's it for that video, but my goodness, isn't that a nice thing to think your game is? How does he do this week after week? I mean,
I'll tell you why. Because as long as people are sending cash money in, it's a good day. So all of that being said, everything you said is dead accurate. And the reason why is that it doesn't take anything but the most casual of observations to see that he's failed on all fronts. Every single one. There's not a single imposed timeline that he has ever, ever given. Whereas, not that he's missed it by a smidge or a fraction. He's missed them by years. Had there been a board assigned to this project, or there had been shareholders, he would have been shown the door so long ago.
This man
has a constant... If there's one thing consistent about Chris Roberts, and that is his ability to do this over and over and over again. And people keep giving him the benefit of the doubt, like he's some kind of prodigal genius. He is not.
Right.
He got lucky once, and he has ridden this thing like there is no tomorrow. The wheels have just about fallen off of this wagon by now, and he hasn't delivered.
I'm not too familiar with the financial success of, you know, the games after his big hit, but casual searching seems to indicate that they might not have turned a profit. I don't know if that's true or not, and I don't really care. I only really care about Star Citizen and the POS first-person mode they are selling alongside that, Squadron 42. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time in the past, but only in Star Citizen's past. I don't go that far back.
Okay, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And here's the reason why. Is because the two games are intertwined, yet they want to sell them separately.
Uh-huh.
And here's why that's laughable. Is because Squadron 42 is dependent on Star Citizen's technology.
That that seems clear to me, but you get in arguments with the, what's the word we use for them? Citizens or believers? The faithful? They...
Oh, yes.
They don't see it that way sometimes, often.
I'm not interested in what they're seeing. That's just
sure,
it.
I mean,
their opinion is worthless to me. What I'm focusing on is this is straight from CIG's literature. It's from Chris Roberts' mouth.
Okay.
All right. There is no other fountain of truth than this. Squadron 42 is dependent on Star Citizen's technology and advancements. This is what they have spouted ad nauseum since the beginning of this.
They showed this vertical slice of Squadron 42 here recently.
No, they didn't.
And it was almost indistinguishable to me from like some kind of elaborate Star Citizen level. So yeah, all the technology,
what?
The code seems to be shared.
No, here's I want to go because you broke off on a different side, but. I do want to get back to that. And the reason why is Star Citizen is the technological test bed Squadron 42, correct?
Yeah. I think they're saying we're gonna manage ship balance and testing in the
Oh no, I'm just talking about the basic tenet of Star Citizen. It owes its technology to the creation of Squadron 42. That is what we've been waiting on this whole time. That is the very first shield they use to defend themselves on where Squadron 42. So you're telling me in all of these interviews with all of the programmers and all the developers and all the engineers that for almost 5 years now, have been saying they're working on the tools to start programming the systems they need to make the game. Do you not hear the technological debt and distance of what that one sentence just says? All right. What I mean to expand on that is they can't, with Star Citizen alone, they can't deliver even something as simple as what is in 3.0. Mm-hmm. So how can you have a script, let alone a game, already done, and then no spoilers and all that, not a single stitch, not a anything, when they can't even get anything right in Star Citizen? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And the reason why is because it's bullshit. I hate to use that language in the live stream, but it's a lie. It is a lie. And that what they're calling a vertical slice was in no way, shape, or form what you would consider a vertical slice. It was another tech demo, the same way that he showed off 3.0 in 2016 and didn't deliver. That was 45 minutes of just boring nonsense. It was like he turned his Star Citizen engine into Gary's mod, and he made this stupid video. That's all I saw.
There was nothing. I saw about, 5 minutes of Starship battle there. Otherwise, it was just kind of wander from, this cutscene to that cutscene to...
Exactly. He was directing a movie.
Oh, yeah,
he was trying. It was a movie game. And if anybody thinks that's not his end endeavor, that's his creative baby, then you're kidding yourself. But he knows. That's why I say he knows he can't deliver on any of this.
Now, here in Twitch chat, we're playing that video you recommended, the Star Citizen 2016 Gamescom Live Alpha 3.0 demo. And I'm sure if I turned on the audio, nerds would be going nuts here because they're doing the Holy Grail, the from space fly down onto a planet. This video is from 2016, and I'd have to watch the whole thing. I'd have to watch it closely to see what's different between now and here in late 2017 going into 2018, where got 3.0, or backers are playing 3.0, and they can kind of land on moons and things if you can, if your machine can handle the game, as it were.
Well, that's just it, you know, and that is a tangent laughability all to itself on the absurdity of the kind of hardware that the average gamer needs to possess just to run this thing beyond Slideshow Simulator.
Now, I have some parts of this I have reviewed more recently. There's a lot of atmospheric effects going on here, and if you compare that to what people are playing today, looks quite a bit different.
Right.
The question has to be asked, and if you look, you know, okay, let me hold on to that thought. The question has to be asked, how much of this is like a custom CryEngine level versus what is actually going to be delivered?
Well, here's the thing. Look at this. This was supposed to be done in 2016. Like, they were sitting there. They stood in front of God and everybody. And they are sitting there trying to convince us that guy is sitting behind the computer with his little Xbox controller, is piloting this through their universe and doing this live. Right? It doesn't get much more disingenuous than that. They're all complicit. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you don't want to, you know, the people are just trying to work, you know, they're just trying to do their jobs. No, the people that participate in this shenanigan right here, all right, this is already pre-rendered. We all know this. And they were, if you go back to the video, you'll go ahead and see a lot of what you would call lip syncing to the controls.
Oh, yes. I think there's one or two really good videos there on YouTube about breaking down the demos that they do scene by scene. There's a lot of that. The question that comes up for me, or what I'm reminded of, is the original fly through and landing on ArtCorp. Do you remember that? I mean, that might have been 2014 late.
Oh, yes. All of that is just completely laughable at this point. Because even with the very diminished, scaled back version of what they have out right now, it's still worse than what they were touting 4 or 5 years ago.
We got a legend here in the Twitch chat. We got P Gabs.
P Gabs, how you doing? Oh my God! Now
speaking about hardware issues, this guy used to make the most hilarious YouTube videos, going through and attempting to play Star Citizen, and just, I mean, if you think the game's broken today, you should have seen it a year or two ago.
You could played a lot through, better than
I mean,
today.
You could clip through doors just by walking at it. It was nuts. But going back to that, what's that planet they have that is like all buildings and nutso stuff?
ArtCorp.
ArtCorp, there you go. I mean, they showed that in late 2014.
Yes. And yeah,
there's still not a scrap of that to be seen outside of their YouTube channel, in which they, I think, did they visit that planet again, or was it a different planet?
Anyways, oh, well,
it seems...
I know the video.
It's getting a little bit ridiculous here, as far as, you know, we know you can do the movie director wannabe and make these scenes. People didn't pay you for YouTube videos. We paid you, or backers paid you, to make a video game that was playable.
Exactly.
One story I see come up a lot when Kickstarters fail is it was more about the journey than the destination. You know,
that's a lie.
I feel like they've been making that kind of. I wouldn't be surprised to see those exact words come out of their mouth at some point.
Well, no, you know what? Go ask one of those people that lost their fortune in the .com bubble. Okay, go ask one of those people. Was it worth the fucking ride? No, this is not worth the ride. It is not worth the ride. There is no ride. They spend more time creating these ridiculous weekly shows ad nauseum. If they put a fraction of that towards the game, they'd probably be there by then.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on this last week. How much planning and time goes into these videos every week? Now, granted, they seem to be getting a little more lax. Mr. Like Disco I said, Lando just kind of gets on camera there and does them. But
yep.
if you watch those carefully and listen to his words, he's saying, "Oh, we recorded this last week, and it's been in the producer's, you know, video editor for a week." What's going on here? This is nuts.
Again,
you guys got 1,000 videos on YouTube. How many hours are going in this?
If it falls back to what I said before about company withdrawal, they're losing enthusiasm.
Okay.
This lawsuit is the death stroke between their inability to even come close to even the smallest fraction of what they pitched and sold and took in money on promising people. You know, like I said, go to Star Citizen Tracker. All right, okay. The math doesn't lie. The math does not lie.
For any listeners out there, this is a website that I helped start. I try not to get too involved these days, but I am the only person who can move the Google Sheet to the actual website. So my involvement is required because nobody else can seem to, you know, muster up the learning ability to do this stuff. But what were you saying about this tracker?
Yeah, you go to the tracker.
Okay.
And the math doesn't lie. Look at these horrible, horrible percent completion rates.
We got here 17% on the completion.
All right, now do the math.
Now I'm
2011 until now.
Well, you know, I don't want to play that game because you'll get a year like 2058 or something.
Exactly. Do the math on that. He cannot deliver. He never could deliver.
Now, one thing I'll mention, I'm very familiar with this website as I get a lot of questions about, oh, what should we do about this, that, or the other? People somehow still see me as the authority.
Well, you are the gatekeeper there.
A lot of the completed heres are, you know, just rando crapo. Here's a, you know, space bike.
Yeah, mop bucket guy. I mean,
audio cues for missile locking. What? This is nothing. This is like one line of code. Third person
right.
camera. It's built into CryEngine as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
A bug tracking feedback system. I mean, this is just a freebie.
Yeah, they get no accolades. They get no pat on the back for doing bare minimum.
Okay. From some of the insane backers they do. I mean, I saw a post here earlier this week. This game already has more mechanics than a fully released AAA title. Beatwagon posting there on Reddit was having a bit of fun with them. But you know, I go through this list of completed. I'm struggling to even find any real impressive accomplishment.
There are no marker movers in any of these completions. All right. The rest of it is a Gantt chart of good intention.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they're already in the red. They've been in the red for so long. They couldn't deliver on the most basic fundamentals of what the Kickstarter was even about. Where are they going from here?
I don't know. Nope. I really don't know because
people keep giving them. Well, maybe if they got rid of Chris. No, the money's gone.
Everybody is very curious about the war chest.
And what's left, you know, it doesn't matter. What's left? Skadden is going to make sure that they gut them for it. It's going to look like the Red Wedding up in that courtroom.
I don't doubt it. You know, the law firm they're using, Skadden, is...
You're not using them unless...
You've got a pretty good track record.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of CryEngine's or Crytek's physical or financial standing, whether that, you know, however they didn't pay their employees. You know what? That is that's a conversation all unto itself, and it has nothing to do with the lawsuit at hand. Skadden wouldn't sign with them if they didn't think Crytek could pay the bills or that they were going to get theirs on the back end. When you peel $500 million off of Mark Zuckerberg's ass, mm-hmm. right? You know what you're doing.
Well, for listeners not aware, Skadden is the law firm that sued Facebook over, was it Oculus Rift, something or another?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, Facebook, as probably a lot of people know, they can afford a pretty good lawyer, and in this case, they weren't able to pull through. All right, let's see what else do we have here on the agenda. We touched a little bit about your Star Citizen backstory. Do you want to tell us any more? How did you get involved?
Sure.
When did you register on Something Awful?
Well, I bought my package... a couple of years ago, almost three, and
so not during the Kickstarter.
No. I was not a Kickstarter. I mean, before I went ahead and bought the actual package, I had taken all that info into consideration when I did my research on the game, and it was one of those things to where, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a video. I'm not spending all kinds of time or thought on it. But it really seemed like, okay, this could be fun. My son lives in a different state than me. And so a lot of times when, you know, we're not able to be together, a lot of times we'll play games together online. And I thought this would be kind of cool. You know, we could kind of do the whole, you know, Robinson Family Lost in Space kind of gimmick. I thought it would be kind of cool. So I bought my starter package, and the very first thing I experienced was just how fundamentally broken everything was. All right. But I'm not hanging them by that, because, okay, I understand Alpha. I understand all of the things that they were saying on the website, that it's a work in progress, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I get that. But basic fundamentals like draw distances, boundaries, you know, things of that nature, collision, none of that was really present in anything that you would consider like a fundamental or a foundationally solid piece of code. But anyway, I digress. I let it go, and I gave it time after time. I tried all the game modes, and everybody was super nice. And I went to Reddit to ask for help, because maybe there's something wrong with, you know, my settings, or, you know, maybe they're, you know, my computer's processor power, or the entire system, you know, needed an upgrade. You know, just trying to reach out to a gaming community like you do. For these kind of answers. And everything was, you know, copacetic, and, you know, maybe you might want to try this, that, and the other thing, and everything was fine. You know, in fact, I think I had, at one point, I had a half-assed decent gaming session, and I posted that, and the official Star Citizen Twitter retweeted that.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, it was one of those, you know, it's going to be cool. Well, then I started that, like, I think it was after one of the updates. I can't remember which one it was, but the game just started getting really choppy, really broken, really janky. And it was like, okay, after all of the shiny wore off, right? You start asking, like, why is this? Why is that? Well, I think I had made after a few posts, because just using sound logic, like, no, wait, how does this make sense? If you're saying this is alpha and that's the reason, well, then why is there this concentration on polish? And then you're sitting there praising the man for his concentration on polish rather than developing a fundamental, you know, foundation. And as somebody that builds for a living, I understand the very, very nature, the crucial nature of what a solid foundation actually, you know, delivers. And it didn't seem like that was it. It just seemed like they polished everything up front and to make it pretty and so you can sell it and it looks great. But there's nothing backing it up. It's all window dressing and smoke and mirrors.
You know, you hit on a point there that also resonates with me. I think a lot of the motivation behind Star Citizen Tracker and some of the other things is just zero foundation. I mean, if you were honest about wanting to deliver this MMO, you'd build a solid foundation for 1,000 players or whatever that you promised. And they seem to be, I forget what I've called this in the past, but they seem to be very only concerned with like how good it looks, the movie feel appeal of it.
Yeah, the cinematics.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I'm reminded very heavily of a quote from
the
Chris,
fidelity
from Chris talking about the engine. He said it has a very, I forget exactly what he says. I wish I could look it up right now, but I'm not going to because it'll take 10 minutes. He said I believe it's something along the lines of we love the look of it or the cinematic feel of it.
Right.
And it I mean, it just goes back to that cart before the horse symptom that they seem to exhibit all the time is there's very little attention paid to the I hate this word, but net code. There's very little attention paid to the server performance or ability to host thousands of users. And there's a lot of attention paid to how a ship looks, this knob, the text on the side of your starship. And I'm thinking,
all right,
this is not quite the way you want to go. I mean, I've seen some early alpha video of World of Warcraft, and it was very, very, you know, very, for lack of a better word, programmer art. I mean, it was basically polygons.
Right. Well, here's the thing. That is all part of misdirection in sales and marketing.
Uh-huh.
And it has everything to do with showing you just how shiny and detailed and subsystem these ships really are, right? Here is your super hopped up supercar Bugatti, your super awesome stitched leather into. I mean, all of this is misdirection. All of this is misdirection because that ship, all these pretty shiny things have nothing to do with the game that they pitched you with.
Now, you talk about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Is Cloud Imperium Games Corporation preying on the average gamer? Are they preying on, like, I don't know, space sim enthusiasts? Are they preying on, you know, I keep saying preying on, their marketing tactics seem very predatory. Am I wrong here?
No, they're not. And they are very predatory, but here's the thing. It didn't start out that way. And this is where a lot of people get the situation confused. Did Chris Roberts jump into this being a predator? No, he did not. Okay. Like I said before, nobody anticipated the runaway financial success of Star Citizen. Okay. And it had nothing to do with Chris Roberts' awesome programming ability, right? Wing Commander just gave him it gave him street cred for, hey, here's Star Citizen, right? What he did is he tapped in to a vein of very financially lubricated gamers,
okay,
that have been looking for this sort of all in one, everything I could ever imagine, space escapism.
Okay, right? Okay. You know what? There's an image, some people call them memes, they call them image macros, mm-hmm. out there of kind of the cycle that MMOs seem to go through. The developer says, hey, you remember the first time you played a World of Warcraft, or the first time you played an MMO and it was great? It was that cocaine addiction feeling? Well, we're going to do it again, and this time it's going to be even better. And a lot of these games cater to the fantasy, like World of Warcraft, you know, sword and shield and spells and magic aspect.
Right.
We haven't seen an MMO catering to the, you know, realism, science fiction crowd, except for maybe, I don't know, I'm sure there's a few examples out there, but, you know, none that quite have the aesthetic of Star Citizen, per se, that realism, no magic kind of feeling.
Well, here's the thing.
Would you say that's part of it, or?
No, not really, because here's the thing. I mean, there's going to be a fandom for any flavor of that genre. But imagine, I mean, I'm not sure if how long or if you played World of Warcraft at all, but I did it for a long time. And one of the things, even though I had a great time playing the game, one of the things I never stopped mocking about it was its cartoonish quality.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, if someone could pull off the gameplay quality of World of Warcraft with the fidelity of Star Citizen, what?
Yeah.
It would be a game that would end the market. It would be a game that would end the market. And vice versa. All right. Replace your druid here with a starship, or with a superhero, or with a robot. Pick whatever it's going to be, but you offer that kind of gameplay fun with those kind of graphics and with a larger non-instance-based player group per server. What is it that Aaron promised? Hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands or something? Or was it just thousands?
I can get you an exact quote here.
Yeah, I can't keep track of all of the bullcrap.
Okay, here we go. Aaron Roberts said, so with the next big release, a lot of the underlying game is there, and we can look into transferring people between servers so we can have hundreds of thousands of people, maybe in one instance, but that doesn't come online until later. That's exactly what he said.
Okay, so I'm going to be super duper magnanimous and generous. And what I'm going to do is
he wasn't saying thousands; he was saying hundreds of thousands.
Right. Wow. Like I said, I'm going to be super duper generous to the guy right now. I'll give it 100.
100.
He can't do it, and they can't do it, and they can't do it. And so Aaron just copied the same predatory folly that his brother did by promising something he knows he can't deliver. That man might know how to make 1,000 Lego games, but he is not going to break quantum computing to the point to where he can create that nonsense that he just spilled out.
A lot of what draws me into Star Citizen is kind of the anti-patterns as far as programming and game design.
Exactly.
And I would say that's in my top five, like, egregious claims.
Yes, because there is just, all you need is just a small, just a pinch of real critical thought to stand back and take an unemotional, unattached view. All right, like you've got Star Citizen Tracker up and you look at it in that format. You promised me this, or you've sold that. Like, there is money you have collected in the tens of millions for these promises that you said will be in game, and you haven't delivered on a single one. Not since the original Kickstarter, they have not delivered on a single one.
You know, you remind me of a post by Bucha here recently, and he was on the show last week.
Great guy.
A post he put on Reddit. He said, "The difference between us, the malcontents, and you, the true believers, is that we hear a lot more than you do. Not just from Derek Smart, not from CIG employees past and present, and other industry veterans. We fact check. We deliberate. We shitpost. We have our own wish fulfillment, and we have our own personal disappointments. But the theme remains clear." Okay, well, anyways, the point was, we fact check. I feel like a lot of these backers don't really fact check. They hear hundreds of thousands of players, and they just say, "Oh, wow, that sounds real good."
Well, the thing is, what they're using to fact check is the vast chambers of their own overall-encompassing echo chamber.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to be interested, willing, or able to participate in looking or considering something that is going to be against their confirmation bias. Right? That is the runaway of the success of Star Citizen is confirmation bias. They have got their heads in the sand, and that's that. Nothing's going to pull them out, short of Visa saying, "You've overextended your limit."
Just type into Twitch chat. They seem to have quieted down here in the last 20 minutes or so. What's going on, guys? I'm reading what you're saying. Let's see what else we got here as far as topics.
I'd like to go back to Squadron 42, if you don't mind.
Sure. What's up?
Well, so remember, Chris came in and flopped down this gigantic, huge... It looked like a bill from DC. Thousands and thousands of pages of just, here's the script of Star Citizen.
Okay.
Or Squadron 42, excuse me. And
as a small tangent, this topic came up at the Britison Con, where it was taken as fact. Those pages were not blank. It was all written there. The script is totally done. Yet, they keep Dave Haddock, their lead writer, on the paycheck full time. What is he writing? I don't get it.
Well, I'll tell you.
He's not writing the Star Citizen novella. They sold it in 2013 or something. Still not published. Not even a byline. Go ahead. Here's why.
Here's why. And this is the misdirection. I love that you brought this back to me. This is the misdirection. So they've got their writer on staff. Because Squadron 42 never existed. I don't care. Ben said he played all of it years ago.
Right? Now you're
Ben Lesnick. Ben Lesnick, if you're listening, you're a liar, buddy. You're a liar through and through, and there's nothing you can say otherwise.
You know, we've on this podcast, thrown messages out to Chris, and I think that's it. But I haven't thought at all about what I'd say to Ben. I mean. Very interesting story.
Oh, he's human garbage. There's nothing to say to Ben. He's human garbage. All right. He is Chris Roberts' do boy. End of discussion.
Okay.
So the point that I'm trying to get to is this is the misdirection. So remember, Star Citizen was going along this path of this great big space adventure, right?
Something along those lines. It's never been fully clarified to me exactly what they're
shooting
for.
Go back to the Kickstarter. That's all you got to do is go back to the Kickstarter. If you're going to indict somebody, then you need to go ahead and look at the actual nexus to this. So when you look at this, it's supposed to be this great big huge space magnum opus. All right. And then a couple years down the line, all of a sudden, Chris Roberts gets wind of procedural generation. Everything at that point got turned on its eyebrow. That includes the great big script that he slammed down on the table, that Ben Lesnick had already played the entire campaign through, all of it. All of that went right in the garbage disposal. All right. When was the last time you saw anything about Pusher?
I'm honestly not even sure who that character is. I guess it's Sandy's character.
That's supposed to be Sandy's character, exactly. That's what she was built for or billed as next to Julian Anderson. So procedural generation totally, totally just consumed everything. At that point, yeah, there were rewrites involved. Now we got to take the story in this completely different direction. Because we need this technology to make Squadron 42. How or to what end, I have no idea. But this is what that man has said right out of his mouth. And if you can't hold the CEO of a given company to what he says, then it's the duty of all of the officers involved in that company to get rid of that CEO.
We're going to call it here for the end of this episode. We can do another one if you like. I need a bathroom break. And
sounds great.
Go ahead and give me your outro.
Well, I will say that I enjoy the show. I enjoy the tremendously hilarious ride that Star Citizen has been. But most of all, I love all my brothers and sisters on Something Awful. Without you, none of us would be able to really make fun of them to this depth and to this level of detail.
This is your virtual captain speaking. Please sit back and relax as we come in for a landing here. On the Yardcast, we're probably going to go into another episode, but who knows. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.